Luke 11, we'll start in verse 1 is our text. We only had so many questionnaires, and I'm glad we didn't have quite enough. It means I underestimated them. I'll try to print more from week to week. I think I'm at 18 copies, so I'll just make 24 or so going forward. And then I try to send out a link some days of the week ahead of the questionnaire you have in your hand, plus the study material, to the Facebook group chat for the church. If you don't have that and you have an email address or something and want it, just let me know, text me, call me, or just give me your email address or whatever it might be, and I'll make sure you get a copy. And just a good study tool. And you'll notice your questionnaire starts at a certain question number, because that's where we stopped with this lesson on Lord Teach Us to Pray out of Luke 11. We answer several questions on those that had the handout from a few weeks ago on praying with persistence. And we're really looking at this week, same idea, praying with importunity. And that's why that question, I think, starts at 19 maybe. I don't have a question answer in front of me. But trying to learn how to efficiently pray and effectively pray. It says, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive every one that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And then he goes and he gives them a description or a contrast of earthly parents to the heavenly Father that we have. And we'll look at that in a few moments, but let's pray. Lord, help us as we just got a few moments left together today, that we'll be ready to receive whatever it is you would like us to have. And God, myself included, I don't pretend to have a monopoly on you, and that I am some spiritual guru. My Lord, you believe you impress upon my heart and mind, thoughts and studies for me and for the church. And then we do our best as a collective family to look to our shepherd, the Lord Jesus, to yield to the Spirit of God, that you would guide us through the pages of this holy book, that we might learn its pages and learn its truths. We might find ourselves submitting to the truths that we learn, led by the Spirit of God, not chasing some far off, distant, spooky will of God, but simply living within the Word of God, led by the Spirit of God. That is your will. Help us, Lord, as we go through this next section on prayer, that we might become a people who know how to pray and who do pray. We individually come to you, that we might collectively come to you over and over again, seeing you meet needs. However you see fit, God, make us, help us to be a people of prayer. We'll give you the glory for that in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
I should have put down some thoughts from last lesson, but I didn't. But you can go to the podcast or follow that link and listen to the last piece where we talk about persistence, but the same idea when it comes to importunity. And the idea is this, that although we present our every need to God in prayer, that doesn't necessarily prove my sincerity on seeing the need met. Just because I have a list of needs and desires and requests, and like we said last time we were together on this topic, that I bring every insignificant or every insurmountable request to God. Just because I bring that to God one time and have a prayer time over that, a one-time thing, or whatever you might have, doesn't mean that I'm sincere to see the need met. The idea of this text, or the next portion of this that we're looking at, is God encourages His children to be persistent in prayer. I don't fully grasp everything that he's saying and understand all of why he has set it up this way, but I do know the scriptures spell that he does. That it's not just you take the first 4 verses and we learn the pattern of prayer, how Jesus prayed, recognizing the relationship there with our Father, with our holy God, the forgiveness that we dealt with, that if we have something between us and another that we will not take care of, then we have no business asking God and expecting God to forgive us. And I've had this in my mind for a couple of weeks now. I meant to keep saying it. And he's one of the only ones that I could talk about, I guess, in here that wouldn't go to his head. But watch Steve sometimes. And he plays his guitar, and it's not always all about a show. But usually when the first special number starts, he puts his guitar down and he has a word of prayer. Some of that's just his habit, some of that's his routine, what he does, he knows that. But many times, the Lord convicts him like he does us. And he, whether he's had a cross word with my dad or Ann, or he's had a rough day, and I pick on him, he's my brother, because he doesn't care that I pick on him. You know, how many times have we seen him put his guitar down, pray, go back and say, "Dad, or I'm sorry, I love you." We would all do well to operate that well. Talk about prayer, talk about forgiveness in prayer. I don't know what all the little pieces are, but I know there's a lot of pieces of pettiness and grievances amongst any family, including God's family. You either give that to God and let it go and stop being mad about it, or go take care of the person that you're mad at. Amen. And you go to your brother if he's offended you and let a brother be won back. Mm-hmm. Not the lesson, but it's on my mind. And if you say, "Well, it's you that's offended me in some way," tell me. That way I know how to do it better, and I'll offend you worse the second time. But well, let's not fall into this, "Well, we'll just go through the motions. We'll just bring our offering. We'll just bring our worship." The Lord Jesus said, "You got something, you put that thing down." Yeah. Put the money down. Put the book down. Put the hymnal down. Go take care of it, and then come worship before God. Unity is not something to be taken lightly. How pleasant it is. How blessed we would be if the brethren dwelt together in unity. So he talks about forgiveness here in verse number 4. But when he does that, he doesn't just stop there with the pattern of prayer. He talks about persistence in prayer, or praying with importunity, that just because I bring it to God and doesn't mean I'm necessarily sincere. He encourages a persistence in prayer. And he gives us that story that the friend came at night and he wasn't going to let anything stop him from getting some bread. I mean, it was midnight, his friend's in bed, the children are fast asleep, and he kept knocking and knocking and knocking. His friend said, "Leave me alone, the door's locked, my kids are in my bed, I'm already getting no sleep, go away." And he kept knocking until he received what he requested, and the Lord Jesus said he did not give that man bread because he was his friend. He gave him bread because of his importunity. Importunity, it means to have unashamed persistence. But importunity means pressing solicitation, an urgent request, application for a claim or favor, which is urged with troublesome frequency or pertinacity. So it's an unashamed persistence, and that's hard to comprehend. I don't understand it all. To imagine that the God of heaven, who is greater than all things, wants us to bother him. He wants us to persistently, annoy would be the word if we were in God's shoes, bother him over and over and over again with the same needs until he meets them. And some can't fathom that God wants to have us be annoyingly persistent to him, but that's what he tells us to do. He doesn't find it annoying. He finds it obedient. So why do we think that God wants us to make requests in prayer and then continually be bringing them up before him? Like he's forgotten. It's not the idea. He hasn't forgotten. But why have us bring the request to him along this pattern? Why keep bringing it with persistence until he answers? Number one, I think it proves our seriousness about a need being met. The man who needed bread was persistent. Why? Because it was important to him. He wanted to be a good host to his traveling friend, and it meant something to him. He couldn't let this go. It bothered him. He was serious about it. It was affecting everything about him, and he was persistent. In Luke chapter 18, we could turn over there for another story, another parable the Lord Jesus teaches that I've covered up with pages of notes. But Luke chapter 18, if you want to turn over there, is the story of the widow lady. Should have better pinned my pages. Luke chapter 18, verse number 1. "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray, and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust saith. The Lord said, you hear what he just said? And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? It's the same idea as this man needing bread. This widow has a valid need, and she continually brings it to an unjust judge because it's important to her. If our prayer is important enough to bring it once to God, it ought to be important enough to bring it over and over and over again until it's answered in one way or the other. It's a sad truth, and it's a question on there somewhere. Few believers truly pray during their time on earth. Really learn the pattern and the persistence of prayer. Most give God a few minutes each day, and many pray with flowery language and vain wish lists. But very few tap into persistent praying with importunity. One illustration, you could come up with many. If you wanted to see someone pray with importunity, go to a hospital with a mother who has a child that's critically ill, and she knows unless God intervenes, this child is dead. And pause outside the chapel, the room, the hospital bed, and listen to that mother pray. Unashamedly and repeatedly, coupled with fasting, and you'll witness someone who's learning what it means to pray. If you go to Matthew chapter 15, there's so many passages that deal with that type of scenario over and over again. Matthew chapter number 15, talking about importunity in praying. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Matthew chapter 15, down to verse number 21. In our last passage of that widow, the Lord Jesus said, when I come back, am I going to find any faith? Well, in this story, he shows us what that faith is that he's looking for. Matthew 15, verse 21, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. You would think then she'd be like, well, forget him. If that's how the Lord's going to respond to me begging for help with this vital, valid need, I'm done. But it says, he answered not a word, and his disciples came beside him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was coming to the Jews originally. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. When we do the word study, he's not calling her a filthy animal there. There's different dogs in the scriptures, and there's very tender wording of the Lord's using for this lady, even though she's a heathen Gentile. At that point, you would think, well, I asked him, he didn't even respond. I go to his disciples, they're telling me to get lost. They go to Jesus and say, tell her to get out of here. She comes again and says, Lord, help me. And he says, that's really not appropriate for me to be taking the answers to needs of my children, the Jewish people, and give them to you. And she said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. This lady just won't let it go. She said, I agree, Lord. Kids eat the bread. And I'm just a dog. But even the dogs get crumbs from the master. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Can you imagine had this lady cried out to God and said, God, I got a need, and he doesn't answer, and she said, that's it. Just go home. Something was so pressing to her, she learned importunity in prayer. Persistence in prayer. That if it seems he's not answering, if it seems he hasn't heard, I'm going to ask again. If everybody else says leave it alone and stop asking, I'm going to ask again. If he says that's not how I do things, I'm going to ask again and say I know. But even if I'm just one of the dogs, I need some crumbs. This is something I won't let go of unless you answer. When is the last time something was so important we prayed until we received the answer? And I know it's Sunday school, it's discipleship class, I'm supposed to teach instead of preach, but when is the last time something would grab us so grievously we would give up some form of pleasure, some form of entertainment, some form of food to instead fast and pray for our needs to be met? You say, I don't agree with what you say, but I will ask you, how many times have we just missed the answer because we stopped praying? He says, that's not how God operates. Read the Bible and tell me that's not how He operates. He is looking for persistence, for importunity in prayer. One, it proves our seriousness about seeing the need met. Two, it proves our total dependence on Him to meet the need. If we keep those parables we just read, the one of the man looking for bread, the one of the widow looking for the judge to help, that one story, the friend persisted for bread because there was no other place to get it. This widow persists with the judge because he's the only one who could deliver her. I'm saying, children of God, we must develop this deep-seated conviction that God is the only one who can perfectly meet my needs. Not where He's the last resort, where I've tried everything else and now I'm at the end of the rope and I've exhausted all the options, so God, You've got to help me. But the other ditch is not where He is just the first option as well. Some say, I'll wait till everything else has been tried and then go to God. And some will say, well, I went to God, He didn't come through right away, or God didn't answer like I think He should, so now I'm going to run to all the other options. It proves my total dependence on Him alone, that He's not just the last or the first option. He is my only option for hope. If that be true, we will persist in prayer. Because if we're honest, family is going to fail at times. You bring a need, people can't always help you. Banks, politicians, doctors, they all fail. But He's trying to stress to His disciples, we serve a God who cares about our needs and will meet them perfectly every time. When we have this mindset, this heart attitude, where God knows we wholly depend on Him alone, praying with importunity goes right hand in hand with praying with persistence. It proves the seriousness of the need being met. It proves my total dependence on God. And it's something to look into. Any questions, thoughts, concerns, comments on that? Praying with importunity. Praying with persistence. If you want to give us another thought here, I want to give us a chance. Because the next portion of your questionnaire is, yes, praying with persistence. Yes, praying with importunity, but praying with faith in God's promises. It's the same vein of thought, same verses here. Verse number 9 of Luke 11. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. I mean, it's emphatic, dogmatic wording that we can believe. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. He goes all the way down and says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? I'd like to get there if we have time in a few moments. Because He really ends it, or brings it to a conclusion or a culmination of what we're actually asking when we pray. It's not so much for all of these needs and requests and things. We're asking for the Holy Spirit to do a work. But He's saying, pray with persistence, pray with importunity, pray with faith in God's promises. Why bring every need to our Father in prayer and keep doing it repeatedly with importunity until He answers? Well, because He promises to answer if we do. We serve an unchanging God that cannot lie, meaning He always fulfills His promises. So what are some of those promises that we can pray with faith? Well, first, He promises to answer every prayer. Scriptures are clear. God does not leave prayers unanswered. If we pray, verse number 9, verse number 10, God will answer. If we ask God to meet a need, He'll take care of it. Maybe not how we think He should. Maybe not when He thinks He should. If we seek his wisdom, we'll find it. He says, is it James? If any man have no wisdom, let him ask God who giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. He said, if you knock at heaven's door persistently, it will be opened. That is not a limited. This morning we said about all things work together for good. That is not a limitless promise. That is not a blanket promise for everyone that's ever walked this earth. That is limited to those that love God, those that are called according to his purpose. This is not a limited, uncertain promise. This is a limitless, guaranteed promise that those that pray according to the pattern, according to the persistence that the Lord Jesus taught, will see God answer prayer. The things that limit prayer is either a lack of persistence, a lack of submission, or a lack of faith. Either a lack of persistence, I have not because I ask not. Or a lack of submission, I have not because I ask amiss. Because I'm trying to consume it upon my own lusts. I want my own appetites met. Or here, what we're dealing with, a lack of faith. If I fail to persist, God may view my request as unimportant. If I fail to submit to God's will, he may not answer because I've already decided I won't do his will anyway. What good is there in trying to guide and help your child if they have made it clear they're not going to obey you anyway? A good parent keeps working with them. Do I have the attitude towards God that I'm going to do whatever I please in this life regardless of what you do? Why answer more? Why reveal more? And if we fail to look at Christ as our sole source of help, it could very well be seen as a lack of our faith. You can see a withdrawing of the hand of God if God looks upon our prayers and in his eyes we're telling him, I can meet that on my own. Yeah, I'll pray about it, but really I'm going to meet it with my own planning, my own strength, my own wisdom, my own understanding. God said, if you're going to pray, pray with persistence, pray with importunity, pray with faith. Faith in the promise that God will answer every prayer. The promise that God will give us exactly what we need. It's there in verse number 11, 12, and 13 where he talks about the parents and the children. Then in verse 13, he tells them what they really need. God will perfectly meet our needs is a promise we can claim in faith when we pray. And he said it, every good parent, every earthly parent, they know the proper things to give their children. If a child is hungry, he said a good parent gives them food. He said if your child has a legitimate hunger, you don't give them a rock and say good luck. If he has a certain appetite and you have within your power to meet it and it's an appropriate request and says, hey, could I have an egg? You don't say, well, there's a scorpion close enough. And he says, if you're sinful and know how to care for your kids, how much more does God take care of his kids? And he knows how to take care of us perfectly. Meaning where we as earthly parents often fail, God never does. God is never too late to meet our needs. Oftentimes he's simply growing our faith by making us wait on his perfect timing. James 1, the trying of your faith worketh patience. So the Lord's answer is never uncaring or inadequate. It's always exactly what we need. So faith and prayer, faith that he answers every prayer, faith that he gives us exactly what we need. And then the promise that he's going to bring the answer through his Holy Spirit. This is the promise I see in verse 13. That when God answers a prayer, he doesn't just send an answer to prayer. He brings them. The promise of our God in heaven is I don't just send answers to requests. I have a promise here that I get personally involved in every answer to every prayer. Lord Jesus revealing that when we pray to God for whatever that list may be, praying according to this pattern here, for the protection, for the provision, for guidance, that it's not actually all these things I'm praying for as a gift that stand alone. But the request is for God to do a work through his Holy Spirit. That is the need. It's the Spirit of God that gives us wisdom and insight and discernment. John 16, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He said, Lord, I need discernment, I need guidance. Yes, we need the Holy Spirit. He will guide. He will illuminate. He will bring discernment with him. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So it's the Spirit of God that's getting involved. God's personally getting involved in each answer to prayer. It's the same Spirit that gives peace and grace we talked about this morning. 2 Corinthians 12, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So again, he knows how to translate and take our prayers and make them kind of appear like they should to the throne room. We say, God, I need this, God, I need that. He said, what you need, what you're asking ultimately, is for the Holy Spirit of God to do a work in you and through you. That he will give guidance. He will perform and give you insight into the planning and into his will, showing you things that will to come. He will give you peace. He will give you grace. You need the Holy Spirit. He, the Holy Spirit, is one that moves upon the hearts of man and softens one heart and hardens another. Figure that teaching out in Scripture. We say, oh, they got such a hard heart, or they're so tender-hearted. There's something to them, but there are times and stories and events in the Scriptures where the Spirit of God softened somebody's heart or hardened their heart. He did it with Pharaoh. Over and over again, it says, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then by Exodus chapter 7, it says, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart. From that point on, Pharaoh was never going to be able to choose to have a soft heart towards God or the people of God. God was going to use him as an example. Says he hardened Pharaoh's heart that he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hard and he refuseth to let the people go. So the Spirit does all those things while giving us the ability and the power to do God's work. So when we bring our needs to God, we are actually praying for the help of the Holy Spirit. I try not to overcomplicate with my wordiness sometimes, because prayer is not a complicated thing. We should simply keep praying. But effectual prayer requires learning a few simple truths about prayer. We've covered them. And that is, our Father wants us to bring every need boldly before him. Doesn't matter how insignificant or impossible it seems, God says bring every need. So that's one truth to learn in prayer. Bring every need to God. He wants us to pray persistently, proving to him that is important to us. It's what we really are asking. While he weeds out the unimportant things from our lives, he wants to be the only source for fulfilling our needs, because he's the only one that can perfectly do it. Therefore, we pray by faith. We're bringing everything to him. We're being persistent about it. He's our only source because he's the only one that can meet it perfectly. So I'm bringing it by faith, believing God will answer according to his timeline and according to those promises that we quickly covered. So instead of praying for a while and then running to all these other options when it seems God's not answering, you should pray by faith. That all involves those truths. Bring every need to God. Pray persistently. He's our only source. We pray by faith. And also, when he does answer, we must be willing to accept whatever the answer is with humility. Whether he answers how we see fit or not. Part of learning to pray is learning to accept whatever answer God brings. And the last one would be, that's not inclusive, obviously, there's many things we could say, is not only being willing to accept whatever his answer is in humility, but also being very careful to give him all the praise and all the glory for meeting the need. Because many that do learn to pray with passion and persistently, the effectual fervent prayer, then when it's answered, I mean, how fervently and passionately do we then make sure all the glory and credit goes back to the Lord Jesus Christ? As a testimony to others around us of his faithfulness. That, in a nutshell, is as we continue that process of recognizing needs, insignificant or insurmountable, and bringing them to the Father, watching him supply according to his purpose and according to his will, my faith begins to grow, and we continue to draw closer and closer to him. We follow this pattern and this attitude, if you will, of prayer, praying with persistence, praying with importunity, praying according to the promises by faith that he will answer. He personally gets involved to answer. All of that begins to build. The more we do it, the more it grows. And it is a process. And that's why you see, I don't have the questionnaire up here, but those that got a questionnaire, a lot of the questions, or several of them, are not, none of them are hard to answer really, but they're self-reflective. When's the last time I have? When do I? How do I? Those type of questions that we begin to reflect, like the disciples who witnessed the Lord Jesus praying and said, that's what we need. And he said, all right, here's the pattern. Here's the attitude. Persistence, importunity, faith, and it shall be done. When we ask, according to His will, and we ask by faith, proving we need Him and proving He's our only hope. Any thought?